Our gospel lesson is drawn from the first 12 verses of the second chapter of Matthew's gospel. And we can see a relatively clear, if not smooth, narrative flow to Matthew chapter 2 in entirety. Verses 1 to 12, which we will read together, center on Bethlehem and the Magi foiling Herod. Verses 12 to 23 move the action from Bethlehem through Egypt to Nazareth, with Joseph foiling Herod. As Raymond Brown, the eminent biblical scholar, points out, that chapter 2 deals with the where and the whence. The where and the whence, in answer to chapter 1's question of the who and the how. The ultimate goal is to show us the newborn king triumphant in the most unlikely ways. Let's listen now for good news according to Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May we be blessed in the hearing of this word. Before I go into the communion meditation, I just want to make a comment on the middle hymn that we sang, and then the last hymn that we'll sing today are two familiar tunes. But you'll notice, if you look at the author's name of the verses, it's Jack Brown. How many of you remember when Jack Brown, Henry Jack Brown, was an associate of this church? One or two? Yes. Thank you. Jack is quite a hymn writer, and I think he does a marvelous job, and he's the minister of the Congregational Church in Olivet, Michigan, at Olivet College. And I think he does a great job in bringing the message of the hymn into contemporary language and doing it in the way that they did, using older hymn tunes with which we're familiar, was just great. So just wanted to give you a little commercial for Jack. He's just a good guy. "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." In the church's year, Epiphany, also called Theophany, is the celebration of God exposed. The word Epiphany literally means to manifest or to reveal. The term used in the Christian East, Theophany, more specifically seeks to articulate a manifestation of the divine, thus Theos, Theophany, God manifested. However, those two words were also used in ancient cultures to describe the coming of a king or emperor, reflecting the quasi-divinity of rulers. I want to focus this morning on the notion of manifestation or exposition. God exposed. God exposed. Sounds like something you'd see while waiting to check out at the grocery store, doesn't it? When you're standing there next to the candy bars and everything else, there's God exposed. I love those things. I never buy them, but I certainly look at them. I mean, it's standing there, you can get the real news of the celebrities. You get all the real stuff that's going on. Not to mention all the stuff about aliens and the things that are really happening in the world that the newspapers don't tell us. So they tell us the real news of those celebrities and those who long to be celebrities. And they're exposed right there in print. Exposés used to be a big deal, like the exposé that brought down Boss Tweed and the Tammany Hall political machine in 19th century New York. Then there was the famous exposure of the unsafe American food supply done by Upton Sinclair in his famous book called The Jungle. I think it was also around that time that Sinclair was doing his work Stanford White, the famous architect, was murdered by Harry K. Thaw, the pampered son of the Pittsburgh industrial family. Thaw shot White in full view of the people gathered in Madison Square Garden in June 1906 to avenge White's actions toward Thaw's wife, the former Gibson girl, Evelyn Nesbitt. Oh, and the scandal. Oh, it was a huge expose. I could also add the attempted expose on the congregational minister and champion of abolitionism, Henry Ward Beecher. For this one, I'll simply point you to Debbie Applegate's outstanding and Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, The Most Famous Man in America, and leave it at that. Sometimes you just have to read it for yourselves. In each case, the expose implies bringing some deep, dark secret to the surface. The image, when we use the term expose, conjures up shining a light into a dark place to illuminate the seedy going-ons down in there. And we live in an age where expose has become almost old hat or ho-hum. Television shows keep us fully apprised of all of the seedy actions of celebrities. Just turn on any time right after the news. There they are. And even the normal press, as it did on Saturday, reminds us when celebrities fall from grace, or in the case of Miss Spears, fall again and again and again. It's like we've almost become numb to expose, to the fruit of the muckrake, because it's become such a part of everyday American life. It's like we can't be shocked anymore. What a tragedy that we can't be shocked anymore. The Epiphany, thankfully, reminds us that there's another kind of shock that can come, another kind of exposure that we can have, one that can open us up to a renewed understanding and appreciation of what it means to be human. To use the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you." God exposes the darkness of humanity, the cloak of self-deception under which we have hidden and fooled ourselves. The Epiphany shines a light into the darkness of our numbness, the darkness of our inability to be shocked anymore, of our complacency, of our sin. That self-centered, self-focus which keeps us from loving God and keeps us from loving our neighbor. God shines the light of God's love into our midst and opens, restores, and elevates humanity to the dignity that we had abandoned by self-centeredness. As the great teacher of the early church, Cyril of Alexandria, wrote, "Christ made our poverty his own, and we see in Christ the strange and rare paradox of lordship in servant's form and divine glory in human abasement. That which was under the yoke in terms of the limitations of manhood was crowned with royal dignities, and that which was humble was raised to the most supreme excellence. The only begotten, however, did not become man only to remain in the limits of that emptying. The point was that he who was God by nature should, in the act of self-emptying, assume everything that went along with it. This was how he would be revealed as ennobling the nature of humanity in himself by making it participate in his own sacred and divine honors. wisdom from the 4th century that still holds true. The Christian Epiphany mystery is not just about keeping the decorations up until the poinsettias are bedraggled and the needles are falling off. But it is about holding on to the reality that God is doing something wonderful in this season. The Christmas Epiphany mystery reminds us that God has identified with us, so that God could know us, God could redeem us, God could restore to us the true dignity, the true relationship for which we were made in God's image, in God's likeness. And ultimately, God does this to show the love God has for creation, for that which God has made. God then is exposed as among us, as the one who calls us to loving relationship and hope-filled living, even with darkness all around us. What both Christmas and Epiphany, its culmination, do is to bring the focus of redemption to the very beginning of Jesus' life and consequently to our own lives, to let us know that God is wrapping our lives with God's very life from beginning to end. As the late Roman Catholic biblical scholar Raymond Brown points out in his very important work, The Birth of the Messiah, that the coming of the Magi points us to a shift in understanding of when Jesus is revealed as the Messiah. The first Christians came to believe because they encountered the risen Christ, and then they went out to proclaim. They saw Christ, the risen one, and they said, ah, this must be the Messiah. And so they went out to proclaim, and some accepted and others rejected. They told the story. Now, in the story of the Magi, we see that happening already. The Magi representing us, all the peoples of the world, get it. Herod doesn't get it. As Brown says, the Christological moment, it's talking about the moment of Christ being revealed as the Messiah, the moment of revelation of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Son of God in power through the Holy Spirit, which was once attached to the resurrection and then to baptism, has in the infancy narratives been moved to the conception. It is the virginal conception that serves now as the beginning of God's Son. God exposed is God desirous of being known by all and from the very beginning. Another teacher of the early church, Gregory, sometimes called the Great, wrote this. He said, all the elements bore witness that their Maker had come. In terms customary among men, we may say that the heavens acknowledged this man as God by sending the star. The sea acknowledged him by turning into a solid support beneath his feet. The earth acknowledged him by quaking as he died. The sun acknowledged him by hiding its rays. The rocks and walls acknowledged him by splitting at the moment of his death. Hell acknowledged him by surrendering the dead it held. Epiphany is truly God exposed, God manifested to the whole world. God continues to desire exposure. And you and I, we are to be the means by which God continues to be exposed to the world. We are reminded that the manifestation of God isn't about magic. It's not about flash. It's not about show. God doesn't show up in that way. Showing up as a baby in an obscure town, born to an obscure set of parents, is not the way somebody who's into flash and show shows up. And what that tells us is, if God is willing to show up in that way to save us, just maybe he's willing to show up in you and me. What a concept. God is willing to come through you and through me. God manifests, God exposes God's self as one of us, taking on our life, taking on our death, and transforming it. God continues to speak to us through the written word, through the Bible, through simple signs of water and bread and cup, the sacraments, and through the church, through us. God exposed is God present. God present in the everyday, God present in the ordinary, God present in us. Now, what should have the paparazzi flashing and headlines screaming has become, Christians, yeah, oh, big deal. The church, why? Well, it's not only because our world has grown numb, but it's also because Christians, Christ followers, haven't allowed it to take effect in their lives. Gandhi said it best, Christianity hasn't failed. It simply has never been tried. I hear embarrassed laughter. It's never been tried. We don't let it take effect. So, this is the point. We have to allow it to take effect in our lives, to show God's presence, to show God's love in the way that we live. God exposes God's self, and we yawn. So what? Well, it's time for us to wake up and realize just what God has done and is doing among us. So I challenge you, as I challenge myself at this beginning of the new year, to be open today and every day to a fresh touch, to a new experience of who God is and what God is calling each one of us to be. We must open ourselves to God exposed. God exposed for you, for me, for us. God exposed in you, in me, in us. God exposed through you, through me, through us. God exposed. People different. Now there's a headline. God exposed. People different. That's a headline our world needs. God exposed. People different. Go make news. God exposed.